by 4 o'clock so we can all hopefully avoid some of the rush hour traffic. And I will make the observation from where I'm sitting. Utah is known for being a far-right state, but the seating arrangement kind of horrifies a little bit of that. It may be a different way. So we really appreciate everybody being here. One of the things we like to start off with is a welcome and introduction. So, Carlos, if we could start with you, maybe we can go around the table and let everybody introduce themselves and say who you represent and what you do.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Carlos Becerras, Utah Department of Transportation.
Ivan Marrero, Federal Highway Administration.
Rob Daly, Mayor of Holiday City.
Tina Cannon, Bargain County.
Jeff Scott, Lawrence Southern County.
Sean Milne, Tooele County.
Beth Holbrook, can you tell the League of Cities and Towns?
Mark Shepard, Clearfield City.
Mike Caldwell, Ogden City.
Andrew Gruber, Executive Director of Wasatch Front Regional Council. Welcome to the new WFRC offices. It's a little more spacious.
Jeff Silvestrini, Mill Creek.
Andrea Pearson, WFRC staff.
Christy Overson, Taylorsville Mayor.
Blair Camp, Murray City Mayor.
Robert Hale, Mayor of Midvale City.
Jim Riding, West Jordan Mayor.
Debbie Wynn, Tooele City Mayor.
And I'm Jim Smith, one of the county commissioners in Davis County, but I'm here representing the Utah Association of Counties.
Len Harvey, Mayor of North City of North Salt Lake.
Randy Lewis, Mayor of Bountiful.
James Ebert, Weber County Commissioner.
Bob Stevenson, Lincoln City.
We start back here on the front row.
Lindy Stafford, Wasatch Front Regional Council.
Scott Peston with the council staff.
Wayne Bidden, also with the council staff.
Christopher Chestnut with UDOT.
Russell Weeks, Salt Lake City Council office.
Derek Perkins, West Jordan City Council.
Paul Johnson with UTA.
Jory Donnery, Regional Council staff.
Susie Smith, council staff.
Ned Hacker with the council staff.
Steve Call, Federal Highway Administration.
Michelle Healy, Wasatch Front Regional Council staff.
Matthew Silski, WFRC staff.
Bergen Esmussen, WFRC staff.
Someone ever send every mayor in Sandy?
Ben Withrich with Wasatch Front Regional Council staff.
Sid Dolphin, WFRC staff.
Chad Worthen, WFRC staff, UDOT staff, and MAG staff.
Scott Hessler, council staff.
Bell John Halford, ditto.
Katie Kirk, Wasatch Front staff. Tyler New, WFRC staff.
Alex Ray, WFRC staff.
Christy Dahlberg, WFRC staff.
Megan Johnson, WFRC staff.
Vice President Evans?
I'm Carlton Christensen, and I'm the voice of God.
And I just saw Jerry Benson. Jerry Benson from UTA came in.
Jerry Benson, finally here.
Well, thank you all for being here. We really appreciate you spending the time with us today. I know for if you're a non-indoors kind of personality like me, being here from the front end to the back end of a day, we appreciate you spending your time and energy. So thank you very much. So first up, we have the consent agenda. On that, we have number 1A, action minutes of the WFRC meeting held October 26, 2017.
I would move that we pass.
Second.
First and second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner Ebert, James Ebert.
Second up, we have financial statements and check registers for October, November, and December 2017 and budget expenditure reports. Take a motion on
those.
Okay. First and a second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for that. That will cover our consent agenda. Number two, we have the chair's report. So one of the things we want to do at the start of the new year, we want to certainly welcome all the new members. Andrew was giving fair warning before. There are a lot of acronyms and a lot of other things that might take you a little while to kind of figure out. So we appreciate you being here and being willing to commit. And we also want to thank those outgoing members. We have, this is a really unique group of people doing some phenomenal work, and it doesn't happen without those people that are willing to give their time and energy and ideas to the organization. So we want to thank them for their service. I also want to mention tomorrow we'll be back in the same place. Beth, do you want to give us an intro to Local Officials Day?
Yes, thank you. I'm going to stand up because I sit too much. I am excited to remind everybody that tomorrow is Local Officials Day,
and it is our Hamilton-themed version. So history, yes, let's do it. Starts tomorrow early in the morning, and we have meetings at 11 and then our luncheon at noon with all of our legislators. So I invite everybody to, if you haven't already signed up, let us know. We're happy to have somebody at the league and happy to get you signed up, but we would love to have everyone coming. The governor's going to be speaking, as well as our historian, our resident, non-resident historian. So again, thank you very much. Tomorrow morning, here at the South Palace.
Thanks, Beth. That's a great event. If you haven't attended, I'd strongly encourage it. It's a great opportunity to meet with all of the people that make policy for the state. We have another tardy?
Yeah, tardy. Got to leave room for a little break, but Brett Milburn, Davis County, chair of this fine group, vice chair of this fine group.
You're welcome to take it if you want.
This has been a coup.
Yeah, the planning coordinator.
Thank you guys for being here. Next up, 2B, we have an action item. We need to endorse the appointments to WFRC and the committees. In your packet is a paper that looks a lot like this, with some yellow introducing the new and the 2017 members. And I'll just give you a little overview on what this, on how you can read this. Wasatch Front Regional Council has 19 members and alternates appointed by the county COGS, and 7 additional members. Those appointments are for 1 year. WFRC committees are Transcom, Regional Growth, Active Transportation, Economic Development District, Budget, and Joint Policy Advisory Committee. Appointments are made by the COGS and also by the WFRC chair with the concurrence of this council. These lists are as complete as possible, given that Salt Lake County COG has yet to meet. So when you look at this, and there are some blanks with Salt Lake County, they have not yet met, and that explains that. After that meeting, you'll get updated lists with their appointees, and we'll send them to this council. Full list will be ratified during the council meeting on March 22nd. Handout shows the 2017 members on the left side and the 2018 members on the right side, with any changes highlighted. And we would need a motion if you want to take a look through that, and a second to endorse these appointments.
Mr. Chair, just as people are looking at this, I would just note I've appreciated being invited to the COGS all over the region to provide a little information about the appointments and the interest that you all have shown in participating with the council. I'm happy to answer any questions about any of this, either now or if you still have further questions after the meeting. I'd be happy to talk with any of you as well.
Mr. Chair, I move approval with noting the absence of the Salt Lake County members.
Okay, thank you. First, second?
Second.
Second. Commissioner Wilburn? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much for that. Next up, we have 2C. This is another action item, creation of the Utah Communications Authority Regional Advisory Committee and ratification of WFRC appointments. Just so you all know, pursuant to recent state legislation, WFRC is required to create a regional advisory committee to the Utah Communications Authority. You have your packets as well. A resolution for that creation. We solicited applications for membership from around the region, and a list of appointees is also in your packet. If you want to have a look at that, we're also going to need a motion and a second to create the committee and endorse the appointments.
I move approval, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Got a first. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much for that. Next up, we have 2D, the Federal Transportation Planning Certification Review Results. A little background on that. In 2017, U.S. Department of Transportation did a quadrennial review of WFRC's operations, and we're happy that WFRC was fully recertified. Ivan Marrero, the Utah FHWA Division Administrator, is here to explain briefly the final results of that review. So we appreciate your time here today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And like you said, every 4 years, the Federal Highway Administration and the Federal Transit Administration are required to certify that the planning work organization is complying with the federal planning requirements. So this certification review took place last year. It started around August. It involved a public hearing where we get comments from the public, interviews with staff from WFRC, interviews with some of the elected officials and board members, and some reviews of the documents used by WFRC. I am happy to report that we were able to certify that the process being followed by the WFRC is in compliance with the federal requirements. So great news, not surprising considering the level of work that this body does. So just real quick, a couple of commendations. We highlighted the level of collaboration that exists within just the whole area. The input and the level of public involvement that takes place within WFRC also it's very commendable, and how well they address the livability components and include in their plan. So again, an excellent review, and we were very happy to be able to certify the work taking place here. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Ivan. Anybody have any questions?
We do have copies of the, I have 9 copies here. Andrew, you got one too, but if anybody wants a copy of the certification review, you're welcome to help yourself.
Thank you. Andrew?
I'd just like to briefly express appreciation for Ivan and for Steve and Brigitte and all the folks on the team from Federal Highway Administration and the Federal Transit Administration. We have a great partnership here in Utah with our federal agencies. I know that Carlos and Jerry would echo that as well. And I say partnership intentionally because I know that our federal agencies here are really looking to help us be as effective as possible in serving our region and our state. And we have been very carefully through the commendations, which we appreciate, and the recommendations, which we fully intend to implement all of these. It helps us do our job better. So thank you very much.
Thank you again. We appreciate it. Next up, we have public comment. Anybody from the public that would like to address the committee? Seeing no movement, we'll move on to number 4, the Regional Growth Committee, and Mayor RV will be presenting.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the Regional Growth Committee met last week. We have 2 items that we'd like to discuss. The first is the 2015-2040 RTP Amendment number 5. That's gone through the public comment period. The Regional Growth Council has recommended approval. I think Jory Johnner is going to go over and review that with us. Jory?
Just as Jory's coming to the mic, let me note, this is A, one of the only times I've ever seen Jory in a tie. And B, it's probably the biggest screen Jory's ever presented on. So go for it, Jory. It's all yours.
And I chose to stand the farthest away as I could because I felt weird standing. Thank you very much. Amendment number 5 of the Regional Transportation Plan. If you're not familiar with it, it's a document that we at WFRC work very closely with UTA local communities to develop every 4 years. And so the last plan was adopted May 2015. We're currently working on the 2019 Regional Transportation Plan and Vision, looking at to adopt that in May 2019. Periodically, we need amendments to this plan, and we try to do those annually, although every once in a while we do them twice a year, which is this is one of those cases. The amendments need to abide by our regular Regional Transportation Plan constraints, so we have to make sure it's financially constrained. It meets the air quality budgets that were allocated from Department of Air Quality. And we need to go out to public comment, as Mayor RV mentioned, and we've done that. We have a process that is heavily weighted at Regional Growth Committee, but if you have future amendments, submit those to staff. We work very closely with your planners at the Technical Advisory Committee to review those. We go out to public comment for 30 days, and during that time frame, we'll go to the County Council of Governments if there are projects within that county for the mayors and county commissioners to review at that time. We'll review those, any comments we receive, bring them back to the Regional Growth Committee, and then final approval by the Regional Council. So that's a really high overview of our amendment process. If you have any questions, find me after the meeting and I can cover some more detail of that. So jump in. We have 9 amendments that we're reviewing here in Amendment 5. First 3 are up in Weber County. These 3 projects need to be in the regional transportation plan to apply for the third quarter Weber County sales tax. First project is in Harrisville. It's on 1200 or 1100 North. It's a small section of road that needs will help connect between Highway 89 and Washington Boulevard. It's about $400,000. Next project is in Plain City, 3600 West. It's an operational project, and a lot of projects in the western part of Weber County, there aren't any curb gutter, sidewalk, center turn lanes, and this project would complete the roadway in those respects. Fourth project is Depot Drive. This is connecting south of 12th Street to the Sheriff's Department there, just south of the Ogden Business Depot. So those are 3 projects in Ogden or Weber County applying for or asking to be amended. The next 3 connect to the new correctional facility in the northwest part of Salt Lake County. 7200 West, Salt Lake County is now beginning a study, an engineering and environmental study for 7200 West. This goes from 700 North down to SR 201, looking at how wide the road should be, how many lanes. We want to amend it right now, 3 lanes into the regional transportation plan, holding the option for a potential of 5 lanes in the future if the study warrants that. The next 2 projects, this is 8000 West. This is the first entrance to the new state prison. Connects from the prison down to the frontage road on the north side of I-80. There, and it's a 3-lane road. The second entrance is from 5600 West around 700 North. It goes east-west over to 7200 West, then goes north up to about 1400 North, and then over to. So with the prison, 2 entrances, 2 exits. When we did our plan in 2015, no one knew where the prison was going to be located. And so now that we do, we are amending the plan to include that. This is a project that we've been working very closely with UDOT and UTA and all the communities on the west side of Salt Lake County. In about 2005, a record of decision for Mountain View Corridor was approved, and a transit component was included with that. And that's on the environmental impact statement. This is an amendment to change the transit component of that environmental statement to an express bus along 5600 West from about the red line, which is about 10,000 south, up to the International Center, connecting to the airport and into downtown Salt Lake. The original amendment or the original recommendation was a bus rapid transit from 6200 south to 2700 south in the first phase. This would now change that, and the recommendation, we need to get it amended so that the environmental document can be updated. But I think this is a better project based on the current land uses out there and some of the future land uses for the project. This is Wasatch Boulevard. This is to move a project that's in our current regional transportation plan from phase 2 to phase 1. So it's in our plan as 5 lanes. We just need to move it up in phase. There's funding has been identified for the northbound lane from the canyons north, and so we just need to move it up in phase in the planning process. And the last project is Redwood Road from 9000 south to 126 south. This is a project, if you've been around for a couple years, we originally reviewed in Amendment 2. And it was part of a package of amendments on Redwood Road. This project was not requested to be amended at that time. Since then, UDOT, UTA, Wasatch Front Regional Council, and all the communities have completed 3 studies in this area, looking at active transportation, the transit component of Redwood Road, and now we're asking that this project be moved up in phase from phase 3 to phase 1. To widen the road to match the consistent cross-section of what's south of 126 south and north of 90 south. So it'll be consistent cross-section on Redwood Road in this area. Part of our process, and we review this in more detail with the Regional Growth Committee, are technical considerations. As you can see here, and these technical considerations match up pretty close with our project evaluation that we do as we evaluate projects to go into the new transportation plan. And so you can see at a high level, the safety index on these level two projects, which don't require a quality, none of these projects would require quality conformity, but they're level two, they all have a lower safety index, under four. They all have a little impact to the vehicle hours traveled in the region on a daily basis. All of them provide connectivity to either job centers or connecting roads, a lot of them support the Wasatch Choice 2050 centers that we're now working on in our plan. Level three projects are regionally significant projects, and we review them at a little bit more thorough evaluation. We work very closely with the project sponsors on these. So you can see safety index of 4.5 and 6 for the Wasatch Boulevard and the Redwood Road. Redwood Road is actually reducing the vehicle hours traveled. It's freeing up traffic to flow more smoothly there. Project readiness, updating the environmental assessment, connection to the centers. We look at the connection to the existing clusters that were mentioned as Andrew went through the vision interactive map. You can click on those and see where those are. And we look at where they're not only connecting to future centers, but where they're connecting to the existing centers. Supporting multimodal transportation, we want to make sure we're not preventing or inhibiting future transportation, hiking, walking, transit with these projects as we look to improve them. And again, all of these projects require a quality conformity. The transit has a little bit different. We look at ridership and bus accidents, first mile connections. So along that project, there are 15 east-west connections, and there's an existing bicycle facilities that connect to it. So just some additional information to provide, we wanted to provide you as we evaluate these projects for amendment.
Can I just add one brief supplemental point? Jory, thank you very much. Just for just a little bit of context, and I know Ted is going to talk about this, I think, a little bit more, but what we were talking about this morning, for those of you that had to sit through my presentation this morning, the vision looking ahead to the future ultimately turns into, one component of that is the regional transportation plan, the RTP. So this one that Jory's looking at here, 2015 to 2040, that was the one that we adopted together. The Wasatch Front Regional Council adopted in 2015, and periodically we have to amend that, and that's what Jory's been going through, moving projects back or forward or back in phase when they happen, or other modifications to the current plan. And we do that at the same time as we're developing the next regional transportation plan, which we call Wasatch Choice 2050, and that will go from 2019 to 2050. So we've got the plan that's in place right now, this one periodically amended, as we work with all of you and with UDOT and UTA to develop the next version of the plan. So hopefully that's just a little helpful context.
So if there are no questions, Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we approve Amendment 5 to the 2015-2040 RTP and the Amendments Air Quality Conformity Determination as found in Air Quality Memorandum 37.
Second.
Okay, first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Second item on the agenda is we have small area workshops coming up, and I think I'll turn the time over to Ted Moulton to comment on that.
Okay. I don't have a PowerPoint, but I did ask for some jump music, so cue the Van Halen.
That I want to say.
Okay, nothing. Okay, then, so you've heard a lot about Wasatch Choice 2050 today, and I hope it became very clear that it's a draft. This draft came from you, from a local input process. And we've gone through a couple of years of that. We generated ideas, we packaged them into scenarios, and explored those ideas, got feedback on that, and then what we have now is we have a draft vision scenario, and this event essentially kicks off getting feedback on that vision scenario. And as Mayor Arby talked about, the idea here is that we're going to meet with small groups of cities and townships, metro townships, and county representatives at a time, and drill down and dig into the details and listen to you, get your feedback on the vision piece by piece. And there's a dozen of those, and I'm just going to mention that we're also working with Morgan and Tooele to see how the best way to involve them in the development of Wasatch Choice 2050. There's two different things about Morgan and Tooele. One is that they're both rural planning organizations, which is a little different than a metropolitan planning organization. And the other is that they both just finished county-wide general plans. And so we want to ask them how to proceed. Here's what you will experience in these meetings. I'm trying to make a pitch for why these are so important. One, it's your chance to come and edit and refine the land use concepts in the vision scenario. Vision scenario, in a nutshell, it's the draft regional transportation plan, as Andrew talked about. It's your explicit statement of, here are the land uses that we want to explore in a vision. And then again, they get implemented in the regional transportation plan, your local planning, and in the comprehensive economic development strategy. So you'll edit and refine. You're going to say, okay, well, if the land use concept is different in the vision from your general plan, and I'll get to why would we do that, then what is your level of interest locally in exploring that in implementation? So you're going to say, well, you know, on second thought, we don't like that idea, don't want to explore it. We want to explore it soon, we want to explore it in our next general plan. We're already exploring it. Exploring it is not you have committed to it, but you are talking about it as a community. And the last might be, we're already implementing that. Now, why would we ask you that? We're asking you that explicit question because the plan, the transportation plan, hangs on those land use assumptions. So you're essentially saying, what should WFRC, representing and working with UDOT and UTA, as they develop a transportation plan and start to implement it, well, we need to tell them what they should assume for land use. So why wouldn't we just use your general plan? The idea of not sticking with your general plan is that the time frame of an infrastructure decision is longer than a general plan. And you might say to yourself, well, you know, we would do something different with our plan if an interchange was here, or let's say a new bus rapid transit line were over here, we would change our plan. So let's talk about how to coordinate those together. That's why we are doing this. And so that's kind of a sense of what will happen at these vision workshops and why they are so important. So if they're that important, that's the reason why we are asking you if you would please come out as city council members, mayor, planning commission members, key staff, those people that you would want to have in the room where you're saying, yeah, I think we would want to explore that idea or not. So that's the who. We're really looking for, you know, 10 to 20 people per community that really represent the people that would lead the process of exploring a decision. And I'm just going to note that you have a map in your packet that tells you the date and location of these vision workshops. So the first one is in the north, in Perry, one of my favorite cities, on Tuesday, January 30th, and the second is in Cottonwood Heights, and then they go from there. And so, Mr. Chair, that is my verbal presentation, and I just will pause and see if you have any questions about the next steps in the Wasatch Choice 2050. I will add just one other thing. There's other avenues for input and they include the visualization tool that Andrew introduced and walked through in his presentation.
Hey, Ted, I just want to clarify one thing. These meetings around the region, they are open to the public, okay? But they're not principally designed to be public open houses. They are geared towards you, specifically the local elected officials, your city council, as Ted said, your planning commission. They are designed specifically for you to get with a few of your neighboring communities and roll up your sleeves on the big regional vision we talked about today.
That concludes my report.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That will bring us to number five, the Transcom Committee, and Commissioner Ebert will hand to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have two items to discuss today. The first is an actual actionable item. It's a request from UDOT to modify the 2018 to 2023 Transportation Improvement Program, and Mr. Ben Woodbridge will cover that, and then we'll move to item number two.
My button's not working.
So we'll move to approval of the resolution.
Do I point it at something special?
No, it's the green button.
And?
So bigger screen isn't always better?
No.
Do that disc thing. It's good work.
Sure. While we work on that technicality, why don't we move to the Active Transportation Committee and Mayor Silverstein, if that's okay with you, Commissioner Ebert?
Yes, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. And I don't have any really high technology, just a phone, so I can handle that. It's a report of it. We don't have anything to vote on either. It's just a report. So it's the Active Transportation Committee, otherwise known as the committee that wears Lycra. So basically, we've had one meeting this year. We intend in 2018 to continue to work to advance our goals. The first is to update the shared regional priority bicycle routes map. Second, we want to encourage and work with cities and counties to adopt local active transportation plans. Third, we hope to fund, I don't know how we'll do that, Andrew, but fund and construct priority projects. So that would be through the regular grant program. And then finally, our job is to build support for the active transportation through effective engagement and outreach. So we meet and everybody's welcome to come. We also have more fun than any other committee on the WFRC because we go on awesome field trips. And you can ride a bike. You can wear whatever you want. We have a couple events planned for this year. First of all, on March 13th, we have the Utah Bike Summit, and I think Scott Huss will be getting details out about that to all of us later. And then we have a real special event that we're planning for this year. We're kind of celebrating the fact that we are opening 110 miles of trails from Agano to Provo. And key to that is the bridge over North Temple, which is now done. I don't know if the status of it during the winter, but it did open up in the fall. We decided to hold this event where we're going to actually drive a golden spike in that bridge. Maybe not. But we wanted to do that during warm weather when more people would participate. So we're going to do it during National Bicycle Month in May. And I'd like to invite all of you to come out and do that. And we'll also have some tours about some other active transportation features. I've been promoting the fact that we now have the completion of the Parley's Trail that runs from the Jordan River all the way up to Parley's, mouth of Parley's Canyon. And there are other assets around our community and our region that we'd like to talk about and share with everybody. So, and then I'll give another plug for Andrew's visualization tool on the website.
Yeah, the interactive map.
Yeah, it does have the bicycle on there, so you can take a look at that. And I guess if your jurisdiction wants to work on a plan, come and talk to our committee. Thanks.
That's my Thank opinion. You. The bank show again?
Yeah, working.
Thank you. the Academy.
I got to hear that we were going to see the tip on big screen, and I was just pretty excited. The Transportation Improvement Program, or the TIP, is, well, it's an integral part of the things that the Wasatch Front Regional Council does. And what the Transportation Improvement Program is, it's a six-year program of the highway and the transit projects that actually have funds already on it. They're moving forward. It's in the urban areas of the Salt Lake West Valley and the Ogden-Layton urban areas. So essentially, we go all the way from the Salt Lake-Utah County line all the way up to Brigham City. It's funded with federal, state, and local dollars. So these are the projects that you see all the orange barrels up and around throughout the area. These projects are identified in the Transportation Improvement Program. And it's for all of the cities, the Department of Transportation, and the Transit Authority. It's also, it'll implement the long-range plans of the highway and transit projects, as we've heard a lot about today, and as Justin Jory's presentation there of the RTP amendment. The Transportation Improvement Program, or the TIP, is where these projects are implemented. It meets the short-range needs along the Wasatch Front, and then it addresses the maintenance for our existing system. Periodically, so the TIP document is fairly dynamic. In fact, we'll have the opportunity to almost modify the Transportation Improvement Program every month. It's a awesome document because the projects are continually changing. Either there's some change in scope, perhaps there's some funding adjustments, or there's new projects because there's available funds. It does require modifications by the regional council. Now, there are times when a regional council doesn't meet, and you've delegated that responsibility to TRANSCOM, or the Transportation Coordinating Committee, to take care of those modifications when this body is not meeting. And we do update it annually. In fact, we just last week, we received many concept reports in which we'll begin the evaluation process. And later this year, we'll be back to you with the list of projects and recommendations from TRANSCOM's TAC committees and TRANSCOM. So today, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to approve a new board mod. This is board mod number 3. And we're going to review quickly the board mod that TRANSCOM took last November on the 9th. So, in your packet, you'll have a resolution. And attached to that resolution, you'll have a table. And this table identifies the projects that are part of this board modification. Now, I might mention that it's important to note that this board modification doesn't require a 30-day public comment period because these projects are already included in phase one of the regional transportation plan, or they're not regionally significant projects, or they're exempt projects that do not need to be reviewed for the conformity and the consistency with the statewide implementation plan. So, this first project on I-15, actually, if this is a beautiful picture here. So here we are. You can't see this very good. Anyway, from Brigham City all the way down the Utah County line, this particular project here is in the south end of Salt Lake Valley. It's on I-15, and it's between 90th South and 215. And what this project will do is it'll improve the movements on and off of I-15, and it'll relocate some of that. It'll provide not only a relief with a lot of the congestion in the area, but it'll provide a significant safety improvement. As additional studies have been made on this project, there were some suggestions, or the department was able to identify some plans that would bring a significant improvement with this board modification. So let me just show you here, and can you kind of see the blue haze right here? So if you look at this line, this is 2017 AM peak traffic. So this bright white line that's down here on the bottom, well, that's the existing speeds along the freeway, and you can see this goes from 146 south to Binghamton, Binghamton to 123rd, 123rd to 114th, 114th to 106, 106th to 90th, 90th to 72, 72 to 53. You can see how the speeds are currently in the AM peak. Well, if they went with option one, which would be just the collector-distributor routes, that would bring us up to the green line. So we get some good improvements, but not significant. So as the department was looking at this with some additional traffic studies, they identified that if we did another one, which would include some auxiliary lanes with the collector-distributor, we would get a significant benefit of the speeds in today's traffic. Now, ultimately, if we could do everything perfect and had all the money we needed to, we could go with the Gold Line. But that's quite a bit more money, almost double what this improvement can bring us right here. So, what does it mean in our 2040? Look at the improvements right here. Actually, in the 2040, doing nothing as well as just doing the collector-distributor, the traffic pattern is about the same. An estimated 26 miles an hour on sections of I-15 during the AM peak. Boy, that's just not acceptable. But with this improvement here, we're still up in the upper, mid to upper 40s, as estimated in the tightest part along I-15 with this improvement. So this improvement is for an additional $20 million to an existing $130 million project. So for $150 million, they'll construct the auxiliary lanes and the collector distributors between 90th South and I-215, and it'll not only reduce the congestion through the area, but it'll eliminate a lot of the weaving, and it'll be a significant improvement to safety on this project. Now the next project is a project of this. These are the four regions of the department. Region 1 is in the green, Region 2 is in the yellow, and the other two regions are out of our area, Region 3 and Region 4. This particular request here takes place up in the Region 1 area. This is throughout the Region 1 area, but there are road networks that are within the Wasatch Front that'll have some of this improvements done to it, and so we're amending it in to the Transportation Improvement Program. And what this is this is to upgrade the guardrails by removing some of the substandard or older guardrails. This is called or referred to as Texas Turndown. It's eliminating these and some of the older guardrails there to up the standards. So the request here is this is a new project for $1.2 million to take care of the guardrails and improve them up through northern Utah. Those would be the two projects that have been requested to amend into the 2018-2023 TIP.
Thank you, Ben. Any questions for Ben?
Carlos, do you want to add anything about this?
I just would love Ben to do my sales jobs.
If that's a job offer, Ben,
that's
say no.
Great start.
I get it all from you, Doc.
Seeing no further questions, I'll entertain a motion to approve the attached resolution to modify the 2018-2023 TIP as requested and outlined by Ben.
So moved.
Second. Councilman Jensen.
Councilman Jensen makes the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. Any further discussion or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? It passes. Thank you very much. Ben, would you move on to cover the update?
Thank you. Thank you. So also included in your packet is a report on board mod number 2. This was action that was taken by Transcom on the 9th of November. And there were several projects. This would be the first table in that, but you'll notice that there's three tables in that. And we do have a slide for every one of these projects here. But meaning that the Transcom has taken action on this. This is for your information. So that you're aware of what's happening with the Transportation Improvement Program and ask you if there's any questions. This is an information item.
Any questions? Well, thank you, Ben. Appreciate your time. I'll turn the time back to you, Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate that. That will bring us to number seven, Executive Director's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a few items I want to hit on. First of all, most of you know WFRC is moving its offices. And no, we are not moving to the Salt Palace, although these digs are pretty nice. You know, we're moving to the north end of the gateway. Our current planning is, thank you, our current planning is that that's going to happen around June 1. We've been working on that. Where's Ned and Scott, our leads on this? Ned and Scott, so we're really excited about that. We'll keep you posted. Two, I just want to note Mayor Silvestrini and his Active Transportation Committee report asked a question about funding and mentioned one of our funding programs, the Transportation Alternatives, or TAP, that provides funding specifically for active transportation projects. But also, there's a lot of resources going right now to active transportation. You, some of you are aware of the TIGER, this is federal funding program, a grant program that has put $20 million of funding into our region for active transportation and what we call first last mile, community access to transit. And when we take that with resources that we've been putting in, that MAG, Mountain Land Association of Governments, anybody here for MAG?
Is Sean Seeger here?
Okay, they're putting in, UDOT has been putting in a lot of resources, and UTA, all that together is a lot happening on funding active transportation, so thanks for setting me up for that, Mayor Silvestrini. The third thing, yesterday was the meeting of the Point of the Mountain Development Commission. Ari Bruning with Envision Utah and Robert Groh did a presentation on the results of significant analysis and then a vision for that specific area where so much growth is occurring. Lots of great information. And if anybody has questions or about that, feel free to talk to Ari. There's also the great website. It's just through the legislature's website, or Ari, what's the website?
pointofthemountainfuture.org.
Go to that website, and there's lots of info there, and I know Ari could talk to you. The transportation agencies, WFRC, MAG, UDOT, and UTA, have been working closely with Envision Utah as the contractor for the Point of the Mountain Commission. They're doing visioning work, and then our job is to work with them to do technical analysis about feasibility and costs around ideas that come out of that process. So there's a ways to go there, but it's been a really great process. The last thing I want to mention is the legislative session started yesterday. During the 45 days of the legislative session, nobody is safe. So that's why we spend a lot of time at the Capitol. We are looking to advance your interests and also sometimes to protect against things that are contrary to your interests. So having dialogue with all of you is extremely important. Councilmember Holbrook already mentioned the League of Cities and Towns Local Officials Day. The Association of Counties is having a county legislative day on... Somebody from the counties help me. It's coming up soon. February 9th, okay. 8th, thank you very much. Andrea, February 8th, that's coming up. One of the main things that we are looking at the legislative session are the results coming out of the Transportation Governance and Funding Task Force. This task force was created by the legislature last year and had been meeting for the last 9 months during the so-called interim period. That's made up of legislators, business representatives, and local elected officials representing you. So Mayor Caldwell has been serving as a representative of WFRC, Commissioner Milburn representing UTA, Commissioner Scott representing UAC, and other representatives. That task force is having its final meeting this Thursday morning at 7 a.m. The task force came out with a report and now is very close to releasing or introducing legislation that would implement many of the recommendations coming out of that task force. And so those recommendations include, this is not an exhaustive list, but they include making the resources that the state is currently putting into infrastructure more flexible, the state sales tax going into infrastructure more flexible so that it could be used for the highest value projects regardless of mode. So highest value, think congestion, think economic development, think air quality, all of these issues, regardless of mode. So they could be used for transit or for active transportation, not just for road projects. And then also, there would be a request to the Transportation Commission, the body that actually does the allocating of those funds that Carlos works with very closely, to ask them to modify their prioritization criteria for those funds, to look more broadly at issues that aren't always traditional transportation metrics. So, like local land use and economic development potential. We're excited about that. We think it's the right thing moving forward. It is reflective of the work that this body does and has done, thinking multimodally at all the modes of transportation. And also looking, like I talked about this morning, at the connection between transportation, housing, open space, air quality, economic development, and linking all of those items together. One thing that many local governments and the League of Cities and Towns and Association of Counties have been looking at very carefully through the process is, will the legislature come in and mandate local land use or preempt local land use control? And my report to you at this point, and nothing is final until it's final, but my report to you is that the legislation is not going to do that, okay? It is going to, in the way that I described to you already, it's going to seek some modifications to the way the state is spending its money so as to reward and encourage local land use that coordinates land use and transportation and promotes economic development. Put another way, carrots, no sticks, okay? So stay tuned on that. Once the bill comes out, we will shortly after it comes out be sending out to you information, a summary of the bill, and then more information. Now, every week during the legislative session, we hold informal WFRC meetings at the Capitol Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. in the Senate building in the Aspen Room. You should have all gotten appointments for that already. Andrew, yes, thank you very much. You're all welcome to come. This week, we're not doing it, okay? So it'll start next week because this week it conflicts with the task force. So if you're looking for a transportation legislative fix this week, come to the task force meeting at 7 a.m. on Thursday, and then we'll start those meetings up after that. Now, I also want to do two things. Where's Lanise? Lanise, will you stand up, please? So Lanise Davenport is not new to WFRC, but she is the new government relations manager for WFRC. So she is going to be doing a lot of the work, tracking legislation, working with task force members and with all of you, and helping. If you have questions about legislative stuff or about bills, you can talk to me or you can talk to Lanise. We also have a bill tracker that Lanise is maintaining that we're going to send out to you so you can look at the bills we're tracking and identify the important issues and give us your feedback on your behalf. Speaking of Lanise, Lanise is also celebrating, I don't know if she's celebrating, we're celebrating Lanise's 15 years of dedicated service here at the Wasatch Front Regional Council. Lanise has managed many programs with us over the years, the CDBG program that Christy now manages. She also was responsible for creating and standing up, with your help, the Wasatch Front Economic Development District, really weaving economic development more into our work, which Sean Millen is the, Commissioner Millen is the chair of the Economic Development District, and many of you are involved in that. Commissioner Smith's been very involved in that. And now, she, for some crazy reason, you know, she said it thought it'd be a good idea to spend more time with me and do more of the government affairs work. So I am happy to present to Lanise this certificate of appreciation for her 15 years of service. Lanise, thank you. Session as she stays around anymore. I'd be happy to answer any questions, but Mr. Chairman, that concludes my report.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Any questions? As we get to other business, I want to just take a quick moment and thank former Lieutenant Governor Greg Bell, new chairman of UTA, for being here, and give you a moment if you'd take it.
Uh, not advising me because of the microphone. Thank you for giving me just a minute to introduce myself. Thank you for your good work. I was honored to have served on this panel once during the time that Mayor Anderson was on this and we were trying to build Legacy Highway. So we had some colorful discussions in the day when you guys were kids. But I'm really delighted now to be the board chair for the Utah Transit Authority. Clearly we have our work cut out for us. I won't tell the legislature this, but if there was a horse, it's already out of the barn. But they want to do some things, and we're up there cooperating and trying to be very, very creative and positive about the role that UTA is going to play. It really comes down to leadership, and you know that. It's apart from formation and numbers and the institution itself, it comes down to the people, and it comes down to leadership. Bishop Burton told me that they did a nationwide search and they found the best guy for the job, and that's Jerry. And we're very proud to have Jerry and his team. They lock arms so well with UDOT. I don't know of a time that we've had better cooperation among our transportation agencies. We have a huge economic issue, and that's air quality. Health, growth, and transportation will be defined in this Wasatch Front as much as anything by air quality, and we're watching them. It used to be 10th and then 8th. And it used to be a few people, and now it's everybody has on their mind air quality. Clearly, Tier 3 is going to be a big deal, but probably the biggest deal in terms of ameliorating the problem we're in is going to be a very robust transit system. We've got to get first and last mile stuff done. We've got to anticipate electric vehicles and all kinds of disruptive technologies, but we're on it, and I'm really excited to be a part of it. Thank you for what you do. You're great friends, and together we're really, I think, going to keep the Wasatch Front at the forefront of America's development and show Washington, D.C. how to be productive and how to get things done. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you for your service. You've worn a lot of hats and for the state of Utah. We appreciate everything that you've done.
Sorry, can I say one more thing?
Andrew,
I apologize.
Reversing.
Okay, sorry. Just really briefly, you know, we had this event today, and there was a, those of you that have been able to be here for the whole day, we really appreciate it. If you haven't, we'd be happy to replay most of it for you if you want. But I do just want to acknowledge some of our staff members worked incredibly hard on this event, and I want to call out two in particular. Heather McLaughlin Cole, who's characteristically in the hiding out, but did an amazing work, and then Katie Girard over here. The two of you guys, will you guys wave your hands so we know what you're talking about? Wave your hand, Heather. Thank you. They just did yeoman's work, so thank you very much. Thank you.
And that will bring us to other business. Does anybody have any other business for this board? Just let the minutes reflect. Andrew said I have 1 hour. It's 1 hour on the dot. And with that, we'll say the next WFRC Council meeting is March 22nd, 2018. We appreciate y'all being here today. Oh, and then there are upcoming events on your agenda. So if you want to take those, make sure you get them on your calendar. So thank you.
And I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Sorry. Motion to adjourn, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.